From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Yes, it is about that time once again. It's the end of the week already. Is it really Friday already? I cannot believe it, folks. All right, well, it's 1 o'clock on this January 10th, 2013. TGIF, folks. We have a packed show, as usual, for you. And before we begin today's show, just want to give a heartfelt thank you to all of you who tuned in to last night's Current Sports Rose Bowl special. Yes, it was. It was certainly. We've gotten a lot of feedback from you all on my Facebook page. My messages are blowing up. My phone blew up last night. I mean, just a heartfelt thank you for all of those who tuned in. I want to give a shout out to Alex Shark, who did one unbelievable job with me down there with all the shots he got and helping me put that thing together. Tim Elkins, who is one of the producers here on Current Sports TV, he did one heck of a job as we were up late editing for you. But thanks a lot for tuning in. If you did not catch that episode, it's on WKAR.org. You can also go to video.wkar.org to check it out. It's posted right there for your enjoyment, and it also will be re-airing throughout the weekend. Certainly a great time. And again, thank you guys for tuning in. We really appreciate the love and support that you give us all here at Current Sports. Okay, well, folks, you know what? Before I begin the show, I want to talk about really quick Dan Le Batard, folks. You know, we talked about Dan Le Batard yesterday. Dan, of course, if you don't know, Dan Le Batard is a pretty well-known national media sports guy. He actually has his own sports radio show as well as a pretty funny TV show. I love his TV show. But Dan Le Batard, he's taken a lot of heat. He took a lot of heat specifically yesterday when it was released that, you know, he's a Hall of Fame. He's a baseball Hall of Fame voter. And it was actually released that Dan had given his vote away to the website Deadspin. Now, Deadspin, not a credible source in the sports world whatsoever. And he did so because he really feels as though the voting system in the Baseball Hall of Fame is totally flawed. He feels as though it's flawed from the standpoint, specifically when you talk about those who are suspected of using PED use. He feels as though some of those players should be let in the Hall of Fame. He doesn't like it whatsoever. And in his frustration, he decided to give his vote away to Deadspin. And Deadspin had a online voting system going on where readers of Deadspin got to choose where Dan Le Batard's vote would go. And in doing so, and once the Baseball Hall of Fame found out, it was released yesterday, that Dan Le Batard had been kicked out of the Baseball Writers Association of America for 1 year and barred from future Hall of Fame votes. And so he can't make a vote anymore. They kicked him out for doing so. He knew it was coming. He knew it was coming. But, you know, I feel as though, because just looking at different media sources out there and different journalists who have weighed in on this, there's mixed reaction, no doubt about it. But I feel as though there are many out there, especially many journalists out there who do what we do here at Current Sports and what I do, that, you know, are taking this just a bit too serious. And, you know, when I look at the whole situation, I understand baseball is on this pedestal. It's America's sport. It has been for, you know, it's the beginning of time, it feels like. But at the same time, I definitely kind of feel from perspective where Dan is coming from, because I do think, and you know, when it all boils down to it, I do think some players who have used PED should be let into the Hall of Fame. We've debated that countless times here on the sports and to here on Current Sports, and to each his own on that one. But, you know, I do believe that they should be let in. There should be an asterisk next to their name, though, definitely, without a doubt about that. But I just think that, you know, many people are just taking this way too serious. So, Dan, hey, I'm just letting you know, I'm in your corner, brother. I feel you on this one, all right? All right, well, let's get to our Current Sports quick hit headliners. And, you know, throughout this entire show, we'll be taking your calls on anything you want to discuss. You know the number, 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. And all of you Twitter freaks out there, you can follow me on Twitter and tweet me at AlMartinWKAR, okay? All right, here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners to end the week on this Friday, January 10th, 2013. Last night was a pretty big night for a local sports star around Mid-Michigan. Hannah Miller performed at the U.S. Figure Skating Championships in Boston. Now, Miller earned 57.49 points and took over seventh place. She performed to the music The Firebird by Igor Stravinsky. Now, Miller, who is a junior at Williamston High School, trains at the Lansing Skating Club. Her goal is to earn one of the three spots on the team that will go to the Sochi Olympics. So congrats to Hannah Miller. She is certainly one talented young lady. And, you know, seventh place is not too bad. Again, that was at the U.S. Figure Skating Championships in Boston. She earned 57.49 points, took over seventh place. All right, top Detroit Lions head coaching candidate, Ken Whisenhunt, who is also the offensive coordinator of the San Diego Chargers, he's been a pretty busy man, folks, these past few days. Whisenhunt actually interviewed with the Detroit Lions on Thursday. He met with the Detroit Lions front office executives last night in California. And Whisenhunt is actually scheduled to sit down with the Tennessee Titans today and the Cleveland Browns tomorrow. And then Sunday, he'll call plays for a Chargers team that's two wins away from the Super Bowl. Now, when this came out, it's shocking news to me because I had no idea that you could interview for jobs in the NFL while you're still in season. I had no idea. It's shocking news to me, but apparently he interviewed with the Detroit Lions yesterday. Of course, Ken Whisenhunt, his name is at the top of the list, according to multiple sources, of possibly taking over that head coaching vacancy for Detroit. Okay, wings and sharks, folks.
And keeps the puck moving. Pavelski was picked and hit the ice. Here's a shot by Stewart. Pavelski scores! Joe Pavelski!
What in the world is wrong with the Detroit Red Wings? Well, that's a question we're going to be diving into in just a sec if you want to weigh in it. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Joe Pavelski, he scored two goals to extend his run of strong play, and the San Jose Sharks beat Jimmy Howard for the ninth straight time in the regular season with a 4-1 win over the Detroit Red Wings last night. Tomas Tatar scored the lone goal for the Red Wings, who began a tough three-game California swing with a loss. Now, Detroit follows up this game with weekend visits to Los Angeles and Anaheim. Again, what is wrong with the Detroit Red Wings? They're really struggling this season. Give us a call and express your opinion on it. 517-355-9527. Also last night, Michigan State women's basketball was in action. Michigan State actually upset number 16th ranked Nebraska 70-57 in the first Big Ten Conference home game of the season. Ariel Powers and Annalise Pickerel, they were outstanding last night. 17 points each to lead the Spartans. The Spartans have now won four in a row and are 10-5 on the season. MSU is undefeated at 2-0 in the Big Ten. They were great last night, folks. All right, Michigan and Nebraska. Men's basketball. The Michigan and Nebraska game was a Big Ten thriller last night, folks. Now, with 23 seconds left in the game, point guard Derek Walton got a layup to fall, pushing the Wolverines to a 71-70 victory. Glenn Robinson III finished with 19 points, leading the Wolverines to their fourth straight win. They are now 11-4 and still undefeated in the Big Ten this season. That was certainly a doozy of a game. All right, legendary Hall of Famer Tony La Russa could be climbing back to the majors in an upper management role. La Russa said, quote, "I'm interested in getting to the competition upstairs. I've missed the competition since I left the field. I talked to the commissioner, Buck Selig, about it. It's not a thing where you miss the dugout, but I miss the winning and losing." Who misses losing? All right, La Russa declined to talk to the Mariners club president opening, but maybe the lead in a small list of candidates for the Mariners. All right, future NFL QB Johnny Manziel has been no stranger to highlights and headlines and sought advice from one of the few people who has more experience in those areas than he does. You know who that person is? LeBron James. I'm not kidding, folks. Manziel, who recently decided to sign with LeBron's marketing company, LRMR, has been speaking to James for months since his offseason autograph scandal swept sports headlines nationwide. LeBron said, quote, "He reached out to me when he was going through a lot of off-the-field things that I thought were just being overblown. He's not the only kid who went to a college frat party or the only college kid to have fun. but obviously he's Johnny Manziel, so it is blown out of proportion, end quote from LeBron James. Now, the two have texted weekly since that time, and both look forward to a future business relationship. Who would have thought, folks?
Design run for Miller. Nifty footwork. And now plenty of running room down the near sideline. Touchdown!
Yes, you should be hearing a lot of that in the NFL soon, folks. Ohio State quarterback Braxton Miller announced that he, though, will return to school next season to terrorize Big Ten defenses one last time. Yeah, I almost got you there. He's not going to the NFL, folks. Miller cited his desire to win a Big Ten championship, improve as a quarterback in all aspects of his game, and to graduate as one of the main reasons, as some of the main reasons for his return. Now, the conference's most exciting player, Miller, may have his hands full next season as the Buckeyes graduated four senior offensive linemen, his best right receiver, Corey Brown, and bruising tailback, Carlos Hyde. Now, Gus Malzahn also had something to say about one of his players deciding to take another route.
Okay, first of all, I'd just like to congratulate Trey. Our staff is extremely proud of him. You know, I recruited Trey, and going to the NFL was a goal of his, so I'm very proud of him to reach that. He did a wonderful job for us, not only this year, but really his whole career. Not just the way he played football, but the way that he represented Auburn. So I'm very proud of him. This is a big day for him and his family. It's a big day for Auburn. And so I'm very proud of him.
Yes, that's Auburn head coach Gus Malzahn addressing the fact that Auburn's Trey Mason has announced that he will forgo his senior year and enter the NFL draft. Now, Mason, who broke Bo Jackson's school record for single-season rushing yards with 1,816, had his two biggest performances of on the grandest stages. He posted 195 yards rushing and two TDs and one receiving in the BCS championship game versus Florida State, and a whopping 304 with four scores against Mizzou in the SEC championship game. It's safe to say Mason is striking the iron while it's hot. All right, folks. Well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, you can call us at 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527 and share what's on your noggin. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. And to start today's show, we talked yesterday about what's wrong with my Detroit Pistons. And you know what? To kick off today's show, I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about what's wrong with the Detroit Red Wings, who are certainly struggling, folks. And yes, I actually force-fed myself last night to sit down and watch the Wings and Sharks. Force-fed myself. I was flipping channels, though. I can't live without my NBA. Flipping channels between NBA on TNT and the Red Wings and Sharks. And, you know, I want to give my take on it. Alex Sharg and Matt Lucky, they join me right now to dive into what exactly is going on wrong with Hockey Town. Now, guys, when I look at the Red Wings this season, it's definitely, first of all, from a frustrating standpoint, because when you talk about the Red Wings, this is a weird perspective, because the Red Wings have historically, you know, Hockey Town, the aura of the Red Wings, they have such a winning tradition. And to talk about them struggling, for me, sitting here talking about this is weird in that regard, because I tell you what, I'm not used to the Red Wings struggling, but they are. And looking at last night's game, and this is something that's been echoed throughout this season and doing my extensive research, as I had to do on this subject, the Red Wings, folks, they can't score enough right now. And you know, something that's really odd is they can't win at home and they can't stay healthy. Those are three huge things right now. I mean, Johan Franzen, Henrik Zetterberg, Justin Albuquerque. I mean, the list goes on and on and on when it comes to players who are struggling and have not been 100% this season. I think that's really, really hurting the Red Wings this season. And they can't win close games. We've seen countless games that have come down to the wire, gone to shootouts, and, you know, the air just gets let out of the tire. And the Red Wings can't come through and execute when they need to. That's another point right there. Next thing I want to hit on, lack of secondary scoring. Also, I think they have a lot of talent. I think they have a lot of young talent, I should say. A lot of guys that are trying to come into their own and be the new era of Red Wings. Because, guys, the days of Nicholas Lidstrom and Brian Rafalski, Brad Stewart, those guys locking down the blue line over and over, those days are gone now. You know what I mean? This is a new era of Red Wing here. And those guys are – this is a learning transition for this team. So even though the expectations for the Detroit Red Wings, who are, in my opinion, kind of like the Dallas Cowboys of the NHL, the expectation and tradition of winning being there, we got to understand and put some things in perspective here that, hey, this still is a young team that's trying to find itself in that regard. I don't know. What are you guys' take on it, guy?
All right, Al. First of all, impressed.
You're impressed
by
with
your research.
Very impressed.
Very good.
Yes.
Job. Okay.
Thank you.
I'm going to get a little more specific. And even though it's cliche to say, you know, injuries kill teams, it is the case with the Detroit Red Wings. I did some research. I looked at time missed impact to team. And this is a metric that a couple of guys on a website put together. As of January 6th, that's the most recent info they had, Detroit, 7th overall in the league in terms of time missed impact to team. They are 3rd in the NHL when you factor in guys who get the most ice time on the team. So they are 3rd in the NHL at missed time among their best players. They're 6th in the league in goalie missed time impact to team.
Wow.
So it's the key guys that are out of the lineup. When you have Pavel Datsyuk missing 9 games, Henrik Zetterberg missing 11, Jimmy Howard's only appeared in 25 of 44 games. When you have those guys not on the ice, there's a trickle-down effect that goes through the entire roster, every line, where the talent just isn't there. They're constantly calling guys up from Grand Rapids, constantly.
Right.
And it takes time for those new guys to gel with a new club in a different league, in a much better league, where they have to adjust to the speed of the game. It's going to take time for those guys to really get up to speed and start to be productive. So when you're looking at these, you know, patchwork lineups, you can't really expect too much.
And, exactly.
You know, when you talk about their shootout losses, too, I mean, they have 10 shootout losses, which leads the league. 10. So that's, you know, 10 missed opportunities for more points. You know, they're sitting in 7th right now in the Eastern Conference. If they get 10 more points, they're, you know, hovering at the top. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they get those 10 shootout losses. That leads the NHL. And when you look at losing guys like Datsyuk and Zetterberg, those are not just the two best players on the team. Those are two of the best players in the world.
Right.
When you lose those guys, especially in a shootout scenario, it's going to show up. When a point just goes to a one-on-one matchup with a goalie and a player, you want Datsyuk and Zetterberg on your team, and they're not there. So
I totally agree. Very, 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 very good points right there, Matt. Before we get to you, Alex, we have a caller on line one, Mike from Saginaw. How you doing, Mike? Welcome to Current Sports.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, L. Martin. But I want to know, since you talking about the Red Wings, and I said your screener was saying, he asked me what I was going to talk about, the Red Wings and the Spartans.
Yeah.
I've seen the home games from the cable and stuff. Here's what I get where the games are not sold out like they used to be.
At the Joe. You talking about at Joe Louis?
At Joe Louis too. And I noticed that the Spartans basketball wasn't as sold out. I know the student section was filled. Do you gauge that the people I've seen them so they had so much success both programs that people take for granted that both teams are they're going to come and work out their problems and they'll be around when the playoffs or the NCAA tournament come around? Because I figure that people are so bombarded with football, and college football now, college basketball.
Mm.
You can see hockey almost any night of the week now, or you can see pro basketball any time of the week now. And I think what the sports leagues are really and the NCAA is really doing to themselves, they're overexposing the product. And that's going to hurt the sport as we go along because we so used, especially Detroit Pistons and the Red Wings been so successful, and Michigan State too, basketball has. Football is just a new thing. So I was thinking about if the interest level is really there. Just thank you for taking my call, and you have a great day.
Thanks a lot, Mike. Appreciate it, brother. Guys, talking about as far as the attendance goes at the Breslin Center or, you know, at the Red Wings games, just speaking on at the Breslin Center, now I know that we talked about it here on the show, Tom Izzo, at the very beginning of the season, there was a game where he was not pleased with the attendance, and I think that was during a time where it was a big snowstorm, I think it was. I can't remember. It was something with the weather. It was around the time where students had just left, and it, you know, the weather wasn't great, And I remember Tom Izzo saying in the presser that, you know, he was not pleased with the attendance, and he actually challenged fans who weren't going to show up to the game that, hey, give me your tickets. I'll find a way to sell them. You know what I mean? But as far as the overall attendance since that moment, I at the Breslin Center, I've seen it packed. I mean, we saw at the Ohio State game. I mean, that was a full house, you know, standing room only. You know what I mean? As far as sports overexposing the product to the point where fans are getting too comfortable and may not want to show up to games, I don't know if I would go that far, but I will say this, because we talked with Jeff Gintner, which this episode airs last week on Current Sports TV, and Jeff is the vice president of four Atlanta-based sports networks down south in the Atlanta area, and he talked about how the product of sports television is becoming so good right now with HD TV. I mean, you got multiple angles. I mean, so many cameras covering the game that in many ways, the experience as far as viewing the game itself may be even better than going to the game. And that's a legitimate argument. So I think, Mike, I could possibly see that angle. But overall, I think fans are going to come out. If you love your team and if you're a fan, you're going to go to the game. You know what I mean? And we have another caller. And I want to hit on one more point that I have to get on my chest when it comes to the NFL not selling out tickets. Because right now, the Patriots are struggling to sell playoff tickets right now. And I think this is my take on the reason why. But we have another caller on line one. How you doing? Welcome to Current Sports.
How are you? This is Tom from Lansing.
How you doing, Tom?
Good. I have a comment and a question for you.
Yes.
Okay, the comment is hats off to the MSU women's team. They had a great victory last night. And when they have a good team, it's a lot easier to watch a women's basketball when the Spartans are doing well, and they certainly did a great job last night. So hats off to the girls and Susie Merchant. My question for you is this. This is going to be a sad year in the Big Ten for football starting this fall, because we're going to have to watch Maryland and Rutgers join the Big Ten. So my question to you is this. Do you have any insight as to why Missouri was never considered as being one of those teams to add to the Big Ten? Because they just seem like such a natural match, both geographically and from a sports competitive basis. So I'll hang up and take your answer off the air.
Hey, thanks a lot, Tom. Appreciate the call. As far as Mizzou possibly being added to the Big Ten, I mean, if you guys know, I'm not really sure why they weren't added to the Big Ten. Matt, you have something on that?
My best theory is that, I mean, when you look at why they added Rutgers and Maryland in the first place, it's so they could gain the Eastern Seaboard TV market. Mm-hmm. So they could get all those TV screens with the Big Ten network, start watching the Big Ten, start paying attention to the Big Ten. When they added Nebraska, they basically already got the market that Missouri is in. So from a financial television standpoint, it was not as, I guess, I don't know if I want to say smart, but not as lucrative of a move as adding those two teams on the Eastern Seaboard.
From a financial standpoint.
Exactly.
That's exactly right, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's...
And looking at Mizzou and the SEC right now, they're definitely holding their own, you know, in the SEC. I think they had a great, outstanding year this season as far as football goes, as far as that's concerned.
Absolutely, and it's amazing when you look at the teams that the SEC added with Texas A&M.
Right, with Texas A&M,
And Missouri. People thought, oh, the SEC is such a tough league. Those guys aren't going to be able to compete.
I was concerned,
and they've been
two
of the best teams the last few years.
Two of the best teams. And I tell you, Mizzou, I was a little concerned, you know, as far football-wise for them, but they held their own this season. You know, it was a rocky start for them, but they held their own, and they finished great. So thanks a lot for your call, Tom. But really quickly, talking about the attendance again, when you talk about football and the Patriots not being able to sell playoff tickets, and I started to sit back and look at this whole thing, guys, and you look at, you know, college basketball, you look at the NBA, you look at, you know, just other sports. The NFL is really the only sport where, from a fan perspective, that you have to really weather the weather. You know what I mean? Like, right now, around this area, around this time, I should say, time of year, where it's cold everywhere, snow is coming down left and right, you got the NFL playoffs smack dab in the middle. In the NBA, you're sitting in an arena. College basketball, you're sitting in an arena the whole time. The NC, even looking at college football, I mean, college football, I mean, the season ends right around the time when the weather really starts to get really, really bad. Mm-hmm. And even then, you look at the bowl games. A lot of bowl games are in arenas. You know what I mean? So the NFL really, I mean, from a fan perspective, I can feel a lot of fans that don't want to weather. I mean, sitting through an entire NFL game when it's sleet, hail, snow coming down. I mean, I kind of feel the fans on that perspective. I think that's why tickets are not being sold. I guarantee, though, they're going to watch that game, whether it be at home or if you happen to, you know, are brave enough to go out there and watch it. But I kind of feel them on that side of things. I don't know. That's just my take on it.
All right. I mean, I totally agree. But I do eventually want to get back to the Red Wings conversation.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, because you had some points. Okay, let's go back to the Red Wings.
That's important. Because we like to dabble on a couple of points.
Well, we had two callers. We had our callers calling. Right. So, yeah.
Just back to the Red Wing point before I forget it. I just want to comment more on the goaltender situation. Because for me, historically, with the Red Wings, when you're talking Hasek, Osgood, and some Red Wing great goalies, those, for me, aside from Lidstrom, those were the keys to me to not letting up three or four goals a game. That was the key to me for the Red Wings' success. Aside from maybe Scotty Bowman as coach, aside from having Babcock as a coach, for me it was goaltending. Now look at Howard this year. For me, as much as the Red Wings are a younger team, you can get by with having a great goaltender like they've had in an Osgood, like they've had with a Hasek, without having certain pieces. And for me, as inconsistent as Howard has been, especially towards the end of the new year, he's been the X factor for a lot of games. I mean, 4-1, 3-1.
So he's been the Achilles.
For me, I mean, for a guy who is slated to become, you know, with an Olympic team representing the USA, for a guy that's been slated in so many higher roles, for me, he is the game breaker in my eyes.
But I think to his defense, though, I mean, Howard hasn't been 100% though.
True, but with the reasons why, with the loss of Lidstrom, with the loss of Stewart, as you went on earlier,
right,
we were very impressed, Al. with those losses earlier, they have to get around it somehow. Mm. And if Howard, the only piece in the puzzle that they have that is a mainstay, if he's not on, then there's no way that the Red Wings can compete with any team in my eyes.
Right, but at the same time, you have to look at, you know, when you're comparing him to Hasek and Osgood, I mean, those guys had Hall of Famer on the front lines scoring goals for them. You know, they weren't losing a lot of games 4-1. They would lose them 4-3 or something, you know, like, because the offense would put up points. And
when the pressure
falls on the goalie to keep the team in every single game, that's going to wear you down. I don't care who you are.
That's just
a lot of responsibility on his plate. Basically carry the team until Datsyuk and Zetterberg get healthy. It just seems like too much to ask of anybody.
Yeah, that's another point I want to bring up, because if you look at this season, I mean, the Red Wings aren't getting enough shots on goal, and there's really no goal support for Jimmy Howard. Now, granted, that wasn't the case last night, because if you look at both teams as far as shots on goals, I mean, they were almost identical. I mean, I think the Sharks had 26 to Detroit's 25. Just Howard just didn't. I think Howard's not 100% right now. So to his defense, I mean, that's what we saw last night. I don't think he just didn't look like himself last night. But overall, I mean, like you said, he's got to get some help. But I do understand your point, Alex. That goalie position is a primary position that historically has been so dominant for the Red Wings. And you know, right now we're seeing a chink in the armor for this team right now.
But is Howard, for me, I think the Red Wings agree that Howard should be a Hall of Fame type goalie that they envisioned for him when they drafted Howard, when they got him on the team. They had the vision that he was going to be the number one dominant goalie that Osgood and Hasek were.
Right. I hear you on that. I believe we have another caller, a friend of the show, Max Rebner. How you doing, Max?
How's it going, Alex?
What's up?
Very good, man.
So, in regards to the Red Wings, I agree with you, Alex, about Howard. But if you start to look at sort of the past goalies, and I think Al, you mentioned that Red Wings are sort of like the Cowboys of hockey. I would say they're more like the Yankees in regards to in the past, they could really get whoever they wanted. They got, you know, Curtis Joseph they had as a goalie just because they wanted him. I mean, they could get anyone at any point, and they're starting to sort of not be able to do that as much. But I really think it's the physicality of the team in general. You know, going back to the 90s, early 2000s, you had, you know, the grind line. You had these guys that could literally energize the whole team just from their presence on the ice. I mean, you you lose that physicality. Maybe, you know, you can attribute some of that to maybe Howard not being as physical or something like that. But goalie, yes, I would say having a good goalie is important for the playoffs. But the Red Wings, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, have made it to the playoffs the past, what, 23 years in a row?
Right.
And that, and maybe also being in the Eastern Conference now has something to do with it a little bit. They're not used to playing these teams nearly as much. And I remember the Sharks always had our number in the playoffs, and I always hate watching us play the Sharks. So maybe that has something to do with it, too.
Right. Exactly. Hey, thanks a lot, Max.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, those are great points.
Yeah, because with them being a new conference, I mean, they aren't used to playing these teams on a regular basis. I mean, it's a new playing field for them. You know what I mean? And I believe the Red Wings haven't missed the playoffs, I believe, since 1991. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think that 1991, I believe, like 23 straight, just like Max said. So,
but at the same time, it's not like they've coasted in. You know, last year they barely got
they
in.
They barely got in last year.
You know, ever since the NHL introduced the salary cap, things have changed because, like he said, they can't just go out and sign anybody. I feel like there was an offseason where they signed like Brett Hull, Curtis Joseph, and some other Hall of Famer in the same, you know, offseason. And, and that just isn't in the cards right now. They have to develop talent.
Right.
And it's going to come along, but when you have your stars out, the guys you are paying the big bucks to, it's tough to win.
It's tough for anybody. If you got injured, I mean, look at the MSU basketball team right now, which we're going to talk about in just a sec. Hey, let's hit the break when we come back. MSU basketball, folks. Yes, we were at practice yesterday. MSU coming off that bittersweet win. I should almost say loss. Win, if you will. And Izzo, I tell you what. Talked to Tom Izzo yesterday, and folks, he is sticking to his guns when it talk when he when you talk about his frustration, his anger, and we'll talk about all that in just a sec. Don't go anywhere. More current sports is coming right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. We're glad that you tuned in today on this Friday. And today, you know what? I actually, you know, I went out and to look at how the MSU basketball team responded in practice, the practice following that Ohio State win, which went to overtime. And it was an intense one, to say the least, folks. Tom Izzo actually, practice was scheduled to end around 5:30. He went about 30 minutes over and then addressed the media. And from there on, I went to, I actually was at the MSU women's basketball game as well. That was a great game, as Tom just alluded to. The MSU women's basketball, they look really, really good. But concerning men's basketball, sticking with men's basketball team, Izzo addressed the media and talked about many things. And first off, I want to play you a bite from yesterday's practice. And Tom, have you cooled off, my brother?
Yeah, it got a little better, you know, the next day. It's, you know, I said, well, I didn't feel much different than that night as far as I thought we played an incredible 33, 34 minutes. And I do think part of the, you know, give them credit, which I did. I think they played hard, but, you know, Appling just couldn't move. And so you wonder why he couldn't get open and things on that press breaker. It was partly them, but it was him and Harris were walking on their elbows. So that was a little bit of the problem. And, you know, we did quit attacking, but as I told you, there was a reason. So, you know, I felt a hair better about it, but it just goes to prove that we're not where we need to be at, number one. But considering the Trice thing really hurt us because we needed another ball handling guard in there, we just didn't have it.
So what would you say, though? What would you say the status of both Trice and AP at this point today?
I have not seen Trice. I called him this morning, and he was still in bed, and I have not seen him. He's supposed to be coming by tonight. AP is very question mark. I mean, I would have said it was 99% he wasn't going to play. So I really, you know, when you see him down there, ask him. It's nothing bad. He just, he's structurally fine. He's sore, swelled up a little bit, which is normal. But we're not concerned about anything long-term or serious, but these short-term ones are starting to get at me a little bit. And Trice, they did mono tests. They did all the tests you could do. You know, he's just got the flu bug, sick, you know, achy, tired.
Raymonia,
yeah. No, that's even been ruled out. So all the good, all the bad things have been ruled out. So it's bizarre.
Yes, it is certainly bizarre. And at yesterday's practice, of course, as you just heard, Travis Trice, he wasn't even at practice. He's definitely sick. And Adrian Payne, he was also not at practice. So, yeah, those two are definitely battling through some injuries and ailments. And, you know, again, throughout that game, one of the biggest stories had to be Tom Izzo's rage. We've seen him angry before, but it seemed to me during that Ohio State game, it was at another level. And there was even a point where he grabbed Denzel Valentine by the jersey, folks. I talked to Denzel yesterday and addressed, you know, his take on Izzo's wrath.
I mean, you know, it really means something to him. He's really passionate about the game and about Michigan State. So when he's making that face, that means he's really serious.
I think one of the broadcasters might have, you know, said that he needs to cool it a little bit. Do you see that at all?
Coach is coach. He's going to be him. He's not going to change. And he's been successful being like that. So why change now?
So I got to ask you guys, with all the injuries that's taking place with this team, the injuries and ailments, I mean, it's only so much you can do. How do you guys try to combat that?
You know, we just go to work with what we have and you know, hopefully, you know, we can all put it together on game day and come up with a win. And somehow we've been able to do that for the last three games. So it's been like a couple people, you know, not 100%, and we've still been able to pull off the win, so that says a lot about our team.
After that Ohio State game, how was the mood in the locker room? Was it a bittersweet type of feeling? Did it feel like a loss? I mean, what was
it was, you know, it was kind of bipolar. It was bittersweet, then it was, oh man, we should have lost, and then it was a good feeling. You know, it was a lot of emotions running through our head because, you know, we were up 17 and we gave it back, so you know, we're happy about the win, but we're not satisfied with how we played at all.
What's the ceiling for this team as of right now?
No, I think the ceiling is as far as we, you know, can go. You know, it just depends on how, you know, how we want to take that and if we can stay healthy, really. You know, if we stay healthy, I think that's the first step in reaching our goal. If we can stay healthy, I think, you know, the sky's the limit.
That's the key. All right, I believe we have a caller on line one. Austin, how you doing, brother? Welcome to Current Sports.
Al, I'm good. I have rest of these fellas. You guys doing all right today?
Yes, yes. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. First off, man, I want to compliment. I put this on your Facebook wall, but you better than Rick Riley, if you ask me. I enjoyed the Rose Bowl special yesterday, man.
Thank you. Thank you for tuning in, man.
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. And I just want to give my input on the Ohio State game. I was at the game and everything. Had a good seat and all that good stuff. And a lot of people talk about the team, they should have played for all 40 minutes. Yes, they should have played for 40 minutes, but from looking at that game and, you know, being a basketball guy, Coach Izzo also has to coach for 40 minutes because it was either at the 7 or 6 minute mark when Michigan State went into a stall offense. And with Ohio State being a greedy, in-your-face defensive team, they really they got after the ball, got rebounds. And at a point when it got to like an 8-0 run, that's when Izzo should have said, all right, fellas, let's turn it up. Let's start scoring the ball more because, you know, like I said, you know, they went on an 8-0 run. And I believe they closed the game on like a 20-2 run or something like that. And I just think that, you know, Izzo really should have just kept, you know, going at Ohio State the entire game, you know, because like I said, they took possessions off a lot in that second half. And that really hurt them. Granted, you know, the players were cramping up. You know, it was a hostile environment in there with Aaron Kraft and the rest of Ohio State defense. But I just think Coach really has to coach the entire game because they took too many possessions off within that last 7 minutes that allowed Ohio State to get back in the game.
Hey, thanks a lot, Austin, for your call. Appreciate it, man.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, addressing that, I want to get your guys' take on if you agree with that, because when I look at that game in that second half when things really started to go haywire, and Austin alluded to it, fatigue was so big at that point. You could see that, you know, the guys, they were going halfway out there. You know, some of them, I mean, Appling was cramping up. I mean, they just didn't see in tune with it. And against an Ohio State team where they are the fourth-ranked scoring defense in the entire nation, if you show any sign of weakness, any sign of fatigue, any sign of let-up, they're going to attack you. And that's exactly what happened. And then from there, from a mental standpoint, I mean, once they started getting steals and running in transition, getting easy buckets in transition, I mean, MSU seemed stifled. They seemed lost. And I think that's what we saw, you know, the rage from Izzo came out at that point because and there's really only so much you can do. When you got a team that's suffering all these injuries and guys are out there, they're trying. Don't get me wrong. They're trying. They're trying to give everything they got out there. But if they're just tired and cramps start to set in, like I said, there's only so much you can do, right? You
know? Yeah, there is. There's only so much you can do, but at the same time, I mean, running your offense from 40 feet out and just dribbling the ball for 20 seconds of the shot clock, you want to try and at least maybe set yourself up to get to the line, to get an easy bucket, to get something. I mean, feed the post once in the last 5 minutes. You know, try and do something other than just running the weave at the top of the key.
That's because, what we saw, yeah.
You know, clearly it wasn't working, and I know that, you know, the injuries obviously played a part in it, but at the same time, you have to set your guys up to succeed, and it just seemed like down the stretch, they were just trying to get the air out of the ball as quickly as they could instead of at least trying to generate some type of offense, and it was disappointing to see, and it definitely snowballed, and I think that, like you said, is why Izzo was so upset. That's the angriest I've seen him
in years. That's the angriest I've ever seen Izzo, personally. Alex, what was your take on that run?
Yeah, I mean, obviously everybody let down. Both your points were great, so were Austin's. But the one thing that I noticed about the run was just the absence of Dawson, and we talked about it yesterday, and I don't want to be a broken record on it, but without Dawson, for me, this team can't compete in close games, and they can't really hold off because if Denzel fouls out or if Appling or Payne fouls out, I mean, who are you gonna rely on Kenny Kaminsky to hit a couple threes like he did?
I totally agree with you on that. BJ went totally absent, and he had four rebounds, and those rebounds, talking to Adam, you know, a friend, media colleague of mine of Spartan Sports Network, Adam takes stats throughout the entire game, and I was talking to Adam yesterday. He said Dawson's rebounds came at the very beginning of that game, too. So it was like the 1/4 of that game, he was productive. The rest of that game, I mean, he had no rebounds in the second half. He just went totally absent. You know what I mean?
And Ohio State was just feasting on the boards in the second half,
without
too.
A doubt.
I mean, just, you know, Aaron Kraft would throw up garbage, and they'd have guys to just put it right in. And that was part of the run, and Dawson not being there, that's a huge part of the game.
And here's another aspect of it is – I don't think Izzo commented on this, but it's not like Dawson has to endure three separate injuries like Madison Williams did. Yeah, he had his trouble with his knees, but he's in my eyes, he's healthy. It's not like there's lingering injury issues here.
Right.
It's not like he stopped playing because something was bothering him. He got the minutes.
Right, right, exactly.
So wait, where is it? You know, right.
Well, I tell you what, Alex, he actually did address the play of BJ, and you get to hear it right now after he talks about his anger after the OSU game. And I tell you what, Izzo is not backing down from any criticism that fans or media type may have about his anger. Listen to this.
People all over me because I was upset about the thing, and personally, I really don't care. Not to be a jerk, but I know my team, and I know, you know, expectations are higher by all of you. They ain't as high as mine are. And all those fans that, you know, you're a little too hard on them, a little too this, a little too that. Hey, you know what? More given, more's expected. And, you know, I just know over the years, to me, I know what it takes to win. To me, I know when there's things that aren't done. The only X factor and the thing that I have to be a little careful about is, you know, how much Payne and Trice and I know Harris isn't ready to go 42 minutes, you know. Those all played some part in it. But you know, I think guys got to learn how to suck it up, too. You know, it's part of the nature of the beast, you know. If you get deeper into the tournament, somebody gets hurt. You know, I don't plan on giving up my dreams. So, you know, was I tough on my guys about it? That wasn't the norm.
Right.
It really wasn't. I mean, that was That was probably the most upset I've been after a big win, because I just didn't think we did the things that you got to do to be a great team. And so the only thing I care about is that we learn from it. I was expecting to hear someone say, nothing, coach, we're going to go and kick their butt, you know. But we were dragging by then, and we had a couple turnovers. And, you know, those turnovers led right to touchdowns, you know, three in a row, or three out of four. And, you know, you just can't do that. And they were fatigue plays. I mean, Keith threw that one across like he threw the last one. We threw one earlier. Gary threw one. And Zell, you know, we already know. And those things are fatigue plays. And even AP's off his butt. I mean, we work on that hard. We talk about it. We talk about missed free throws. We talk about out-of-bounds plays. And that's where I really challenged Keith last night to talk about it is, you know, a quarterback's job is to go in there and tell him, remember now, don't turn your back to the ball. Don't do this. Don't do that. And, you know, his answer was, well, we go over it enough, shouldn't we know? But what happens is fatigue. Sometimes the line is makes cowards of us all. But it all also makes you not as sharp mentally when you get tired. And so as you get fatigued, that's where guys got to remind each other, you know. That's what I was really upset about. I didn't think we rallied around each other. As good as they get along, I thought that was missing. And I don't think it'll be missing anymore.
Is this a Final Four team?
You know, I mean, I know there's so many teams out there that are capable of getting there. And but is that my goal? Is that my expectations? Sure, it is. I think we are good enough. I think there's other teams good enough. But I do think we have the different ingredients that it takes. Inside game, some we have. Our point guard is getting better and better. We got a big-time shooter. With Zell and Trav, we got two guys that can bring us something either off the bench or as the sixth starters or fifth starters. So I like that. I think we have enough big guys as Costello keeps playing where maybe it's still by committee, but at least we can throw big guys in there. You know, if that would happen the other night and it was big guys that we needed, I had no problem. Guards, it was a little shakier. So, you know, yeah, those are the dreams. Those are the goals. I wouldn't say expectations. Those are the goals. BJ did a heck of a job, you know, and but I mean in practice too, you know. And, you know, I think there are a variety of reasons. You know, he had some personal issues back home. There's always something that rears its ugly head. But in fairness to him, I'm not taking 32 days. Now, I'm not giving him any slack now. But I'm not abandoning those 32 and saying he's got to go back to one. You know, this isn't go to jail. What was that game? Monopoly. It's not Monopoly. We're not going back to jail. We're just gonna make sure that he understands. And he did. You know, he wasn't the same. Trying to figure out why. And move on. It is a teachable team. Although sometimes, you know, when coaches get really upset, it's usually because the same mistakes are made again and again and again and again and again. And, you know, there's two ways to do that. Is one way is to get on a guy, and one way is to sit him. But when you can't sit him because you have no other bodies, option A is better than option C. So, you know, still my job is to make sure guys understand what they did wrong. And if they do the same thing wrong again and again and again, then there's going to be consequences for them.
So there you have that. Yes, the injury woes certainly plaguing this MSU men's basketball team. And really quickly, if you want to know, Keith Appling, who has been, as I say, Mr. Consistency throughout this entire season so far for the team. You know, he was definitely cramping up. It was definitely apparent throughout that Ohio State game. And for those of you that want to know about his health, Keith, how healthy are you?
Oh, 95 to 100, you know, somewhere between there. I mean, as long as I'm playing, I feel like I'm fine. You know, if I was hurt, I would sit down. So,
was the only issue there cramps in the last game?
Yeah, that was the main issue. You know, trying to fight a little fatigue, you know, not having Travis kind of hurt me a lot. But, I mean, guys like Denzel and Gary were able to pick it up a little bit.
When you talk about the injuries and ailments, Keith, for this team, I mean, there's only so much you can do, but how do you guys try to combat that? And that has to be real frustrating with all these injuries that's going on, right?
We, you know, coach always says that, you know, if one player goes down, somebody has to step up. And that's what we've been trying to do. We've been trying to get different guys to raise our game up another notch, you know, so we can still compete at a high level that we have been.
Do you feel added pressure on you right now, Pete?
No, not, I don't believe in pressure. I feel like pressure is only what you make it. You know, and I got a great group of guys around me, you know, so that I don't have to do too much or work too hard, you know. So, I mean, not at all. I don't feel any pressure whatsoever.
I love that answer from Keith Appling. I don't believe in pressure, baby. And you know what? That mentality is why Keith Appling is the X factor for this MSU basketball team. I think he is the most important part to this MSU men's basketball team. If Keith plays well, this team has a shot again at a national championship. So there you have that. But going back to your Brandon Dawson, you know, you want to know about Brandon Dawson, Alex. I mean, there's, like you said, there's so many injuries on this team that, I mean, even if you wanted to sit Brandon Dawson down and you know, teach him a lesson at some point here, I mean, he couldn't. I mean, because that's an extra body that you're losing. So that'll lose to that. All right, well, we have about 9 minutes left. NFL playoffs, baby, right around the corner. Guys, first of all, did you guys know that you could interview for a job during, if you're still in season? Ken Whisenhunt is going on an interview streak right now. I mean, interview with the Lions last night, well, yesterday in California. He's got one lineup today, one tomorrow. I mean, goodness, I had no idea you could do that.
I'm just surprised that the Chargers would let him.
Yeah, it was very controversial.
Yeah, that is, I had no idea. But, all right, well, you know what, guys, I was going to do a whole, I really briefly, winners and losers, we didn't really get to dive into the NFL, wild card weekend. And, you know, I just want to quickly hit on some of my winners and losers of last week. I want to shout out Andrew Luck really quickly. Andrew Luck's performance versus the Chiefs this past weekend was not great. But from the standpoint that he dealt with the three interceptions and was able to brush it off and lead his team to victory. When it looked at one point in that game, I said, oh, the Colts are done. And to bring them back and to just brush off and have a short memory after throwing those picks, hats off to Andrew Luck. One of my losers for the for last weekend has to be Andy Dalton, who I think Andy Dalton is he's not a great QB. I don't think Andy Dalton. I don't like Andy Dalton at all as far as, you know, his skills as a quarterback goes. And you know, he lost a fumble. I mean, he had just interceptions left and right. He was not accurate at all. Andy Dalton, man, he was bad. He was bad against the Chargers. Another winner, I have to say, Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick was pretty good against the Packers out on Lambeau Field. He used his feet to win that game, really. I mean, there was that one point where I believe it was third down and short. Well, not third and short. It was third and like nine or something like that, and they needed a play, and Cap shows up and runs it and really keeps that drive alive on the way to a touchdown. He was great. He was great that game. So, really quick, I want to shout out Andrew Luck, Andy Dalton, who was terrible, and Colin Kaepernick. Those are my winners and losers of last week. So, and we can also get to pick, guys, get to our picks. And do we have an update on how our picks are looking right now?
Well, it's been a few weeks. You guys have been busy out in California.
Right.
And, you know, we kind of missed the bowl game season. But December ended with yours truly with 44 points.
Oh, my goodness.
Alex in second with 41.
Oh, my goodness, I lost.
And that leaves you, Al, in last with 39.
Wow. Bad month for me. December was not good.
December wasn't good, but it's a new year.
It's a new year.
Turn over new leaf.
New day.
We'll start anew.
Yes.
Okay. First off, college basketball, Minnesota at Michigan State.
I'm going with Michigan State.
Okay.
Score too. We put.
Sure.
I'll go. Michigan State. 69-61.
Okay.
Now for me, it's if they could shut down Hollins from Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Very good player. Yeah. I say they shut him down after this last game. Izzo, I'm sure, is gonna be honing into them.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'll go with Michigan State as well. I'll say 58-45.
Whew, low scoring.
Wow,
okay.
Really low scoring game.
I'm gonna take MSU as well. I'm gonna go a little higher scoring. I think they're getting tacos, 73-64. Michigan State.
Gotcha.
Okay, next up, the other big top 25 Big Ten matchup, probably the premier matchup of the weekend. Iowa goes to Columbus to play the Buckeyes.
I'm going to go with the Buckeyes in that one.
Okay.
No score there. Just give me the Buckeyes.
We'll just go to the game. Alex, who you got?
I think the home court is going to do it. Ohio State.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Roy Devon Marble has been really good.
He has.
But
very good.
It's tough to score on OSU, as we saw.
That defense, man.
I think they're going to come back and play with a vengeance after this week.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on. Let's get to the good stuff. NFL football. Saints at Seahawks Saturday afternoon.
Good game. Woo,
that's going to be a good one. I'm going to be glued to my TV during that one. Alex?
I'll go with the Seahawks. They've been consistent pretty much the whole year. Saints off and on. I'm not sure how they're gonna be with defense in this one against Wilson. I don't know. I'm going to go with the Seahawks.
I'm going with Seattle as well. I got Seattle going all the way, actually. That defense is so good. I think it's going to give Drew Brees the blues. I'm going with the Seahawks.
The big thing for me when I look at this game is, can the Saints run the ball? Because the Seahawks have probably the best pass defense in the league.
Oh, they have definitely the best pass defense in the league.
They're great back there, but they're susceptible in the run game. And if, you know, I know the Saints are all about passing the ball, but if they get Mark Ingram going, if they get, you know, Pierre Thomas, I mean, if they get, Thomas, you know, Darren Sproles out of the backfield, that can change the game. I'm still going to take Seattle, though. They're just too good.
After that huge build-up.
Somebody is going to lose. One of the top-seeded teams is going to lose, though. It happens every year. Round two upset. Somebody's got to lose. Next up, Colts at the Pats.
I'm going to go with
the Pats always find their way.
My heart says Pats. Yeah. Give me the Patriots.
Okay.
I'm going with the Patriots.
Alex?
I think the Colts are going to get lucky this year and go with the Colts.
My heart Andrew says Luck, Pats, baby. But my mind is saying
it's not
Colts,
a terrible pick.
It's not a bad pick, man.
Someone's got to be different this
month. I mean, the Patriots are a MASH unit.
Yeah.
Chucky, baby.
I think I'm going to take the Colts, too.
Yep.
Let's go, Pats. Come on, baby.
That's
I
what
need
I'm riding.
It.
Okay, next up, 49ers at the Panthers.
Okay, I'm going to go with
this
the
is
Panthers.
A good game.
That's going to be a really good game, too. I think Cam Newton, though, is going to just go crazy.
Yeah. Alex?
Over your boy Colin?
Over Colin's not my boy, but yeah, over Colin.
Okay.
Yeah, Colin has been he's been from a fantasy perspective. That's why I have this animosity towards Colin.
And that's why I'm gonna pick the 49ers because this 49ers. Is not fantasy.
It's not fantasy. I know, but still,
taking
I think
the Niners.
Cam Newton is good. Cam Newton has been great this year.
Cam Newton has been great. I mean, the Panthers beat the Niners in San Fran during the regular season. It is tough to beat a team twice in the same year, though. Gosh, I don't know. I think maybe the Niners keep it rolling. I'm going to take the Niners.
Right. I'm a lone ranger this week, baby.
All right. Next up, last but not least, Chargers at the Broncos.
I'm going with the Broncos.
I'm going with the Broncos.
Hey, Manny. They're at home, right?
The Broncos are
at home, yeah.
Experience. That's what it comes down to.
I guess I'm going to take them too, but I would not be surprised. The Chargers beat the Broncos earlier in the year.
We know Peyton Manning's history when it comes to the postseason.
Yeah. No, Broncos, Lions will hire Wisenhunt sooner than later. That's what I'm saying.
There you go.
That's okay. That's a good analogy there. All right, guys. Well, 2 minutes left. Long week. Long week. We had a lot on the show. Do we have one more?
We got some Pistons games here.
Oh,
on them.
Really quick. Let's rattle them off.
Sixers tonight and the Suns Saturday.
Pistons will lose to the Sixers.
Okay.
They beat them earlier, though, didn't they?
This is a different team than it was earlier.
Yeah, totally different team. Pistons will lose the Sixers, win against the Suns.
Okay. Alex?
I say they beat the Sixers, lose the Suns.
Okay.
I was going to go with that route, but
I might have them losing both.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Me neither. I'm going to have them losing both. There we go.
Is that all?
That's all.
All right. Favorite Reflection Friday, really quickly. Favorite moment of the week.
It's got to be the Rose Bowl special, man. That was the Rich Homie interview. The Rich Homie interview.
Rich Homie Quan, yeah, Rich Homie Quan. Thanks a lot, Rich Homie. He's probably not listening, but thanks a lot for the interview. Matt?
Ooh, Rose Bowl special or Tom Izzo and Thad Matta's rosy faces during the game. Because they were so upset.
Yeah.
Very upset.
All right, folks. Well, we are out of time. Thanks so much for all of you who tuned in to today's Current Sports. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. As always, take care, have a fantastic and safe weekend, and be easy, people.